Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. Here we are. We're going to talk on a Saturday morning, beautiful summer Saturday, and we're going to talk about something really heavy, but it's the thing that I get asked most about more than anything else, central bank digital currency, CBDC, and people want to know, is this the mark of the beast? Hey, welcome, Mike Carter. What do you think? Is mark of the beast?
Well, it's certainly the source code for the mark of the beast. I'm not going to say it's going to be that right away, but it certainly seems to be setting up towards that. Let's look at what it says in Revelation 13. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. We need wisdom and we need good ideas here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the mark of the beast, but it certainly has that attribute that if central bank digital currency is put into place, it might be that you're not allowed to buy or sell without it, that they can control what you buy and sell. They know who you are. They understand you just become a number in a big computer and they monitor, track, and everything else. We'll get into that, but I want to make sure that we're preparing for what's coming, and it is coming, but not to elicit fear. This is about being prepared. Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12 both say the same thing. It says, a prudent man sees danger ahead and prepares for it. The fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I guess if there were a verse that Pirate Money Radio was based on, it would be that verse, Proverbs 22:3, also repeated 27:12.
Yeah, you know, I like to always say, you know, I hear World Economic Forum and all that saying, well, you're going to eat bugs and like it. And that's what I like about transactional gold and silver. It's like, I'm not eating bugs and liking it. I'm going to pull out my transactional gold card and buy my Texas steak still, assuming we still have cattle.
Yeah, no, but if there is the mark of the beast, if there is central bank digital currency and we don't have an alternative, you'll be stuck eating what they allow you to eat. You'll cook the way they want you to cook. You'll drive what they want you to drive if you own anything at all. And again, World Economic Forum said, you know, by the year 2030, you'll be own nothing and be happy about it. And you'll eat more bugs and less beef. You know, I don't feel good about that future.
No. Let's be the prudent man that prepares for our own destinies here.
So let's talk about what a central bank digital currency is. First thing we need to know is that according to the Atlantic Council and their CBDC tracker, which is from May 2024, 134 countries and currency unions representing 98% of global GDP are exploring central bank digital currency. One world money is what that just says. You interpret it. Yeah. You know, 98% of the world, 134 nations. In May 2020, that's just 4 years ago, there were only 35 countries looking at this. Currently, 68 countries are in advanced phase of exploration, development, pilot, or launch. 19 out of the top 20 nations, the G20 countries, are now in advanced stages of central bank digital currency development.
So if you were going to have a one world government, I guess you'd want one currency.
Exactly. And so that's the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell anywhere in the world without it. Three countries have already fully launched a central bank digital currency. Now, these are not the big countries. It's Bahamas, Jamaica, and Nigeria. But it is advancing with 36 ongoing central bank digital currency pilots, including a digital euro, which covers all of Europe, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The BRICS nations are in the pilot phase of central bank digital currency. And the largest central bank digital currency pilot in the world is China's digital yuan, reaching 260 million wallets across 25 cities. China has been really advancing with this. Is it going to happen here in America? You know, that's kind of a political question. What did Donald Trump say about central bank digital currencies?
He vows to never allow central bank digital currencies if elected. And you know, that the scary part is, you know, we were just talking about how big this is in China with the digital yuan. And we've talked on one of the shows before about how tightly tied that is to social credit scores. And I want a leader that's going to not allow central bank digital currencies.
Yeah, we're not recommending, we're not suggesting political candidates, but there is a political choice that's being made, and the election this fall will likely determine whether or not this is a big part of American life or not. So what is a central bank digital currency? Let's check with the Federal Reserve, which is our central bank, and here's their definition. A CBDC is a digital form of central bank money that is widely available to the general public. Central bank money refers to money. It's a liability of the central bank. In the United States, there are currently two types of central bank money: physical currency issued by the Federal Reserve and digital balances held by commercial banks at the Federal Reserve. While Americans have long held money predominantly in digital form, your bank accounts, payment apps, or online transactions, a CBDC would differ from existing digital money available to the general public because a CBDC would be a liability of the Federal Reserve, not of a commercial bank. They're trying to make it look like it's a liability to them and they're serving us and so forth. Let's get real. They create money out of thin air. They can create as much of it as they want to. In fact, we've got a clip from Jerome Powell I've played before, but Listen to this from Jerome Powell about how the Fed creates money.
You simply flooded the system with money.
Yes, we did.
So to lend to a bank, we simply use the computer to mark up the size of the account that they have with the Fed. So it's much more akin, although not exactly the same, but it's much more akin to printing money than it is to borrowing.
You've been printing money.
Well, effectively.
Where does it come from? Do you just print it?
We print it digitally. So we, as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally.
Flooding the system with money.
Yes, exactly.
And there's no end to your ability to do that.
There is no end to our ability to do that.
Wow. All right. So they're talking about flooding the system with money. Central bank digital currency is just a new way to do it. But there's a difference. The money that they're creating right now doesn't have a little tracker beacon put into it. But central bank digital currency is designed to track every purchase, every person. It's like they tagged it with an AirTag or something. So Wherever that money goes, they can keep track.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me is how the leaders that are doing this think this is such a great idea, and we're all just going to love this.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will love it, but then what was that movie where they went onto the rooftops and welcomed the aliens that just before they blew up the building and Independence Day, they're up on the roof. Hey, aliens, look here. And people will be doing that with central bank digital currency. Why? Because of the cool factor or peer pressure, or it'll be free money. They'll give us free money, or it will be a solution to get us out of a crisis.
That's my fear. There's some type of crisis that's created that drives people to it. Not like we've seen that before with a vaccine or anything like that, is there?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The COVID. Well, we're going to solve this. But first, the COVID vaccine is a privilege, and you're privileged to get it. So it'll allow you to go about your life again. But eventually it becomes mandatory. And if you don't take it, you don't keep your job. That's the intention. And that's what they'll do when they throw free money at us to get us out of a crisis. And we're headed for a crisis, people. You know it. $35 trillion in debt. That'll be $135 trillion by conservative estimates from the government itself. We'll owe $135 trillion in 30 years. And it's going to happen even sooner than that, I fear.
And free money means inflation. When they say they throw free money at us, that's going to help us solve this inflation problem we have at the same time, right?
Yeah, well, free money during COVID created inflation because we weren't producing goods as fast as we were producing money, and now they have an unlimited ability to produce money. Hey, look, we cover a lot of this on podcasts, and you can listen to the past episodes we've done here at AFR.net or piratemoneyradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have questions about central bank digital currency or any of the topics that we cover here, you can send us your questions at AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Send us your questions at AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. We're talking about central bank digital currencies. Could this be the mark of the beast? How is it created? Will it be controlling us? Are you looking forward to a CBDC here, Mike?
I'm not. And the other day I was talking about it and someone said, what is CBDC? So I think it's good timing we have this show right now.
Yeah, no. In fact, we pulled out our pirate money treasure map and we said, avoid central bank digital currency, CBDC. And a very smart person looked at me and said, hey, exactly what is that? All right, we're going to talk about where it's been created in an executive order from President Biden, and it's something that's headed like a freight train towards us right now. We'll cover more right after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
On March 9th, 2022, President Joseph R. Biden signed an executive order number 14067, 14067, which is a scary thing that there's been 14,000 executive orders from presidents. But this executive order is 37 pages long, and it's all about creating digital assets. Mike, did you read that EO 14067?
I will admit I was nerdy enough to scan through parts of it, but I don't know if I say I would read it word for word.
What stood out to you when you looked at it? It's all about creating money. Was it about technology and, you know, exactly how we can create money, or was it about how the banking system would operate? What stood out to you when you read it?
Well, just the whole fear of what they're going to do with central bank digital currencies and the controls they're going to have out there.
That was written in the executive order. They were telling us right there in 37 pages how money is supposed to protect the climate, how money is supposed to control you, and how you're going to not be able to buy certain things. No gas-powered stoves, no gas-powered cars. You'll have to buy electric. It's all about climate change and diversity, equity, and inclusion, how money can make life more fair. Well, how do we do that? Well, maybe we give reparations. We take some of the money out of your account, Mike, and we give it to somebody who lived a more troubled life, or maybe his great-great-great-grandparents had a little more troubled life than you. This is just craziness.
It is. It is. But there was maybe some good hope in there when, as we think about transactional gold and silver. Wasn't there something about how this was going to be taxed or something like that as well? Was that in this executive order?
No. They can absolutely take tax directly out of your account, or they can fine you directly out of your account. Maybe because you criticized something on the internet and you said you don't like drag queen story hours. And maybe your money is supposed to be supporting those things. So they take it out of your account and give it to the library so that they can have drag queens read to your kids.
Oh, wonderful.
And if you think that's just conspiracy theory nonsense, keep in mind that PayPal in 2022, just 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, they created a fine for customers for misinformation. And they said they were going to take money out. And then they backtracked immediately because there was a big public uproar about it.
I'm sure there's somebody very smart that's thinking through how we define misinformation, though.
Well, what's scary about that is if you had a PayPal account, they just take $2,500 and call it liquidated damages provision, and they would pull it out of your account. They admitted, no, that was a mistake. We floated as an idea. We didn't really mean it. And yet, very quietly, just a few weeks later, they put the provision back. According to, this is thefire.org, it says the upshot is that PayPal has not brought back the much criticized misinformation ban, but its current policies, which include vague speech restrictions that are subject to the $2,500 liquidated damage provisions, including certain sexually oriented materials or services and promotion of hate, violence, racial, or other forms of intolerance that is discriminatory or the financial exploitation of a crime. Hey, that still leaves lots of room for improvement. That's what they said. Here's what it means. It says you said something that they deem as hate speech. They just take money out of your account. Well, that's if you have a PayPal account. What if the only option you have for money is a central bank digital currency and they've got the same rules?
Can we get into the positive stuff? Let's go back to transactional gold and silver. You're scaring me already.
No, we're going to talk about what central bank digital currency is because people need to know what's coming. Remember what we shared at the opening, which is kind of the life verse for Pirate Money Radio, Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12. A prudent person sees danger ahead and prepares for it. The fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. We're in the seeing danger ahead portion of the discussion. And I was watching when the G20 was meeting in India, and they came up with the IMF synthesis paper for crypto assets. And I saw a lady come on television say, hey, what have you given us? You know, when they had the Constitutional Convention, Ben Franklin was asked, what have you given us, Mr. Franklin? A republic if you can keep it. Well, this lady came out and said, what have you given us? She says, so exciting. We've given a way that we can improve everybody's health through their money. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What does that mean? She said, well, for example, if you went in and you ordered a cup of coffee in the morning and you had your one cup of caffeine, and then you went back in the afternoon and wanted to buy a second cup, they'd know you'd already had your allowance for the morning and they wouldn't let you get that second cup of coffee in the afternoon. Isn't that great for our health? You like that?
And they're saying this stuff out loud, right? Because I know that you're watching the G20 summits, but I don't think it was on my primetime viewing schedule. So I appreciate that you're keeping up to speed on this stuff.
Well, they've said it out loud before. Remember Mayor Bloomberg in 2012, 12 years ago, he put in a law in place in New York City restaurants will be barred from serving sodas in containers larger than 16 ounces. So they had an actual Bloomberg ban. When they put central bank digital currency in, they could stop you. The answer to that was, well, I'll leave this restaurant, Subway, and then I'll go to Taco Bell and I'll get another 16-ounce soda. And then I'll leave Taco Bell and I'll go to KFC and get a third 16-ounce soda. Well, here's the problem. If central bank digital currency is your only form of money, they'll keep track and they'll know which restaurants you've been to. So you're literally relegated to 16 ounces.
And it's soda now, but it might be I'm refined to only 8 glasses of water because there might be a water shortage someday or something like that.
Oh, it absolutely could be control of that nature. Now, the good news, New York residents threw a fit and he rescinded that ban. But that's the intention. You can see what they're planning. So according to the G20 paper that was released from the International Monetary Fund, they're setting the stage for a coordinated central bank digital currency so they can monitor, tax, and regulate everybody. And your account would be restricted if you didn't get the booster shot. If you drove too many miles, you wouldn't have the ability to get gasoline.
Or electricity, if you've got an electric car.
Electricity or anything. Yep. They can control absolutely everything. They call it a digital panopticon or a digital prison. All right, so you think maybe we're making this up. Let's turn to the Bank for International Settlements, which is the banker to central banks. And we had a whistleblower from the Bank for International Settlements call us and said, they're going to do this. But I found a clip. We've played it before. But let's roll the clip from the BIS and see what they intend to do with our money.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
All right, you heard it, Mike. What cash is, we think it's equivalent to a $100 bill, and they know exactly what a $100 bill is. And yet, with this, he said the term
absolute. I've got it written down right here in quotes. So I'm like, absolute control. And he's saying that with pride. Let's go back to how do I be prudent and prepare for this stuff?
Wow, we're going to prepare for it with an alternative, but the intention, and that's what I want to get across here, the intention of the Bank for International Settlements, the banker to all central banks, and we talked about what the Atlantic Council said, 98% of the economies of the world are planning to have a central bank digital currency in place. And we had a whistleblower. He contacted us, and I've met with him, actually, and he said, look, I was a contractor to the Bank for International Settlements. The technology is in place. All they have to do is flip the switch. What do you think about that, Mike? Do you think that there is total control on the horizon?
Oh, I definitely believe it's being planned, and they're stating that it's being planned. So that says what we're doing is more important than anybody can even realize at this point with transactional gold and silver.
That's why we're Pirate Money Radio. And you know, we don't want to elicit fear. We're not trying to give people a spirit of fear. We're trying to help them understand the danger ahead and then prepare for it. And you know, some weeks we have a little lighter topics, more fun topics. This week it's a very heavy topic because people keep asking me, is this the mark of the beast, central bank digital currency? Based on what you just heard, absolute control where you can't buy or sell without it, that does sort of sound like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, or imagine, what's a hate group? We start to look at all the dots that are connecting here. And if they have absolute control and I want to give a tithe to my church, is that going to be allowed by CBDC?
No, they'll just make the money no good or make it worth 10% of what it would have been. They'll tithe your tithe and say, so they can end up getting 1%. This is the ability to move money around without literally a great taking. All right, so that's the Bank for International Settlements. There's another clip I want to play right before the break, and that is from the International Monetary Fund, where they talk about the tracking capability. If you could roll that clip, that'd be great.
CBDC can improve financial inclusion is through what we call programmability. That is, CBDC can allow government agencies and private sector players to program, to create smart contract, to allow targeted policy functions. For example, welfare payment. For example, consumption coupon. For example, food stamp. By programming CBDC, those money can be precisely targeted for what kind of people can own and what kind of use this money can be utilized, for example, for food. So this potential programmability can help government agencies to precisely target their support to those people who need support. So that way can also improve financial inclusion.
Wow. Financial inclusion is all about making things fair from the government's perspective. It is also talking about specific targeting. And how do they target if they don't track? This is tracking too,
Mike. Yeah, it is. They're going to give me a consumption coupon. They'll tell me what I can consume, I'm sure, from that perspective. But they can determine what you can own and what you can use. Again, scary stuff.
And what you can eat. So it's like, this isn't healthy for you. This is healthy for you. And you could buy masks during a pandemic, but you might not have the freedom to give to your church during that same pandemic. This is the scariest form of control that I think the world has ever seen. And yet the Bible was talking about this all the way back in the book of Revelation with John on the Isle of Patmos getting a vision where you would get this mark. And without this mark, you would not be allowed to buy or sell. We're talking central bank digital currencies, potentially the mark of the beast, certainly something that will be implemented and something that we'll decide in this next election. President Trump says he's opposed to it. President Biden has written an executive order kind of mandating that it be started. This is a political decision that we're going to have to make. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into central bank digital currencies, potentially the mark of the beast.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, with Pirate Money, we're talking about helping people align with liberty, security, and values. Central bank digital currency is the topic for today, and that literally is aligned with, well, control instead of liberty. Insecurity, because you don't know if your money's there, real or not. And certainly government's values, maybe not your values. I've got Mike Carter here with me. It's a darker world if we have central bank digital currency, isn't it?
It definitely is. But I'm glad that the founders put something in the Constitution that might give us our escape clause out of here, or that arc that we talk about.
You know, money has always universally in the Bible has been gold and silver. It's been real. It's been tangible. It's been something that you can exchange with. It's a store of value, which is gold and silver are. It's a unit of account and a means of exchange. Those are the three things that make up what money is. And there are really only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And that's where we're going to talk about solutions. We've got this book. It's called Pirate Money. And American Family Radio read the book. One of the executives there, Walker Wildman, and said, we got to get you guys on the radio to talk about this week in and week out, because this has so many implications for the future of America and for believers. You give a solution, not just fear-mongering, so that's what we came out with, Pirate Money Radio.
Absolutely. And this is on the radio. If you're listening to us live on radio, know that it's also available on whatever favorite podcast you have out there. And this is important messaging to get out to your friends, people at your church, your neighbors, family. We want to make sure that people understand the threats, but also the solutions.
So we're going to give you a contrast. The contrast is between pirate money, which is actual real money, according to the Bible, gold and silver, that you put on a deposit at a state-based institution. It's not passed yet. We have legislation having been entered in about 24 states. It's not passed yet. But then you get a debit card with privacy guarantees. Nobody would be tracking you or monitoring you or anything else. And you'd be able to buy or sell around a central bank digital currency. It's an optional state-based system allowed under the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. But what is central bank digital currency? It's a threat to our liberty. And don't just take my word or Mike's word for it. Let's take the word from someone speaking at the World Economic Forum. And you know the World Economic Forum? These are the Davos elite. These are the people that, you know, that tell us we're going to eat bugs and like it. We're going to own nothing and like it. And America won't be a superpower anymore. You know, they had a whole list of things that they were going to do. Here is one of the featured speakers at the World Economic Forum explaining what central bank digital currency would mean. Let's play that clip.
And the one final note I will make is that if you think about the benefits of digital money, there are huge potential gains. It's not just about digital forms of physical currency. You can have programmability, units of central bank currency with expiry dates. You could have, as I argue in my book, a potentially better, and some people might see it, or a darker world where the government decides that units of central bank money can be used to purchase some things, but not other things that it deems less desirable, like, say, ammunition or drugs or pornography or something of the sort. And that is very powerful in terms of the use of a CBDC, and I think also extremely dangerous for central banks. Because ultimately, if you have different units of central bank money with different characteristics, or if you use central bank money as a conduit for economic policies in a very targeted way, or more broadly for social policies, that could really affect the integrity of central bank money and the integrity and independence of central banks. So there are wonderful notions of things that can be done with digital money, but again, I fear that technology could take us to a better place, but equally has the potential to take us to a pretty dark place.
Okay, a pretty dark place. Let's think about what he just said. He said if we have multiple central bank digital currencies, that's going to be a problem. That's why they're pushing for one overarching central bank digital currency platform. The second thing he said is he equated munitions. He said ammunitions, but it sounded like munitions, with drugs and illicit activity, pornography, and so forth. Basically, this is a push against the Second Amendment for you to have the ability to buy ammunition. This is a push for one world government. This could potentially be the mark of the beast. And he admits it could be a darker world. His reason for saying darker world, though, is not because It's going to control you. He thinks it's darker world because if all these 135 nations have their own central bank digital currency, it's not going to coordinate. So maybe we should fall in line behind one leader. And you know who the leader is in central bank digital currency? China.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I was going to go back to that old Saturday Night Live thing where they said, Satan.
Well, all right. So the digital yuan Cato Institute wrote up, a digital yuan is a threat to your freedom. What makes it a threat to your freedom is essentially all the currency in China. And right now, they've already got 250 million people operating on this. And ultimately, it will be the only currency allowed in China. And other nations that do business with them will have to use it. There'll be a backdoor for China to control everything. And the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab said, China is a model the rest of us need to be following.
Do they have, the last guy referred to an expiry date on my money. I have a hard enough time keeping up my milk when I pour it in my cereal. Is it fresh? My money can expire as well now. Do they have that in China yet, you know? Or?
Well, I don't know if they put it in, but the technology certainly allows it. In Brazil, I think it was Brazil, one Latin American country, somebody got a hold of the code, source code, and it's all in there. Everything we're talking about is written into the source code of these nations that are experimenting with it. And so what that means, expiry date, is here's how you solve the inflation problem. When you're creating money out of thin air, which the Federal Reserve does, you essentially, anytime you want to turn it off, you turn it off. And so if prices seem too high, they don't let you buy something. Or if it's against the social order, social good, social credit scoring. Mm. Where does that come from?
It's right out of China.
Yeah. So, and are we going to be adopting, you know, social credit score means in China, literally, if you were in Hong Kong and the national anthem was playing at a soccer game, and instead of standing and putting your hand over your heart or saluting or whatever, you decided to stay seated and maybe turned your back, you know, they arrested three people who did that in Hong Kong. Hong Kong, once the freest city in the world, it was deemed that, according to Heritage Foundation, is now completely under Chinese control. America kind of abandoned Hong Kong. I was there. I love the Hong Kong people. I love the Hong Kong city, but it is now completely under Chinese control. If you turned your back, your social credit score is down. They might throw in your prison, or they might just say, you can't buy food this week and starve you out. That's what a social credit system does.
Wonderful. I'm looking for all prudent men and women that want to prepare for this.
And to prepare for it, they're going to need to go to Pirate Money. If you want more information about what Pirate Money is, you need to read the book. For more information on the book, you can get it at piratemoneybook.com. But we are, according to the Heritage Foundation, this is just a couple of years ago, we are sleepwalking into a China-style social credit system. I'll read a quote here. It says, Western governments and tech companies are mobilizing to cut off mainstream citizens from public life and constrain their private lives. Actions like protesting government overreach, expressing anti-authority ideologies, or even sharing disinformation on social media may be classified as terrorism. This is all typical of totalitarian regimes, which aims to bring all aspects of society under the control of an ideology. As author Rodrer notes, a totalitarian state aspires to nothing less than defining and controlling reality. We see that happening here. What happened with the truckers in Canada, Mike?
Well, they stood up and they made a difference. I'm thankful for them, but they got debanked. They got their careers ruined. It was messy, but I hope we don't have to face that here in the U.S.
If you are a member of a pro-Trump movement, you ought to be worried. Lametti defended the government seizure of bank accounts tied to the protests against vaccine mandates, a simple extending of the procedures used to stop terrorist financing. That's a direct quote from the Canadian finance minister. If you're a pro-Trump person, you ought to have your bank account seized and taken away from you. Or in Paris, now, this summer in Paris, if you don't have a QR code sent to you on your app, you're not allowed to enter certain parts of Paris. This is that 15-minute city idea. Wonderful. That you can only travel a little distance. Or again, as we've mentioned, Nigel Farage has his bank account debanked, or Mayor Bloomberg wanted to stop how much soda you can drink. All of these things are examples of complete draconian control using right now technology. What happens if they have control of our money with that same technology?
I saw France was celebrating D-Day, and as part of their reenactment, they were asking for people to walk through for their papers, please. I hope that wasn't setting up for these QR codes.
Oh, it's exactly setting up for papers, please. This is Nazi Germany type stuff. All right, so what is the solution? Where do we find a solution to central bank digital currency? I think the only solution we have is to have a government stand with you and give you an option, something you can do instead of central bank digital currency. And the only government that could stand up to the federal government is a state government, mm-hmm. who is supposed to have actually more authority than the federal government, although it doesn't seem like that. But Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, a state can have its own gold and silver as legal tender. And with modern technology, the same technology they're using to try and control us can bring our freedom, because you could spend that gold and silver with a debit card. Mike, you've seen it used.
I use it all the time, and I see it with amazement. And the other day, I was buying a lunch at Chick-fil-A, and I asked if I could pay for it in gold. And usually I get this, "What are you talking about?" And the young man behind the counter is like, "Oh, yeah, I know about that. My dad's using it." So this is starting to catch on across America. And now we've got to make sure we get the laws in place and we make this happen quickly.
Yeah, this is a United Kingdom-based company called Glint. You can get it on an iPhone or Android at Glint Pay. And you can then spend gold and silver using a MasterCard anywhere that MasterCard is accepted or taken. It's a great opportunity for people to see transactional gold and silver. There are three problems with it, which we'll talk about in the next segment. How do we overcome that? Well, that is by using the Constitution. Transactional gold and silver under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, that becomes the solution. And Mike Carter, my colleague here, he's been leading the charge in about two dozen states that are interested in implementing this. And in fact, on our last broadcast last Saturday, we were talking to legislators who have read the idea, read the book, and are ready to implement it in 24 some states.
Yes, yes, it's going to happen. And that's what we heard from them over and over again.
All right, so we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we can protect ourselves from central bank digital currency with pirate money.
Arrgh.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And my dear friend and colleague, Mike Carter. Mike, it's so good to have you on Pirate Money Radio.
Great to be here today. I'm still working on my arg. That wasn't the best one to close out, but we'll get it down.
Arg, yeah. You know, it's funny. Pirates actually didn't use that kind of language. They were actually very sophisticated, good business people. They were called privateers during the American Revolution. A lot of the church ladies that listen to us wonder, why do you talk pirates? They're criminals. Actually, the pirates helped us win the Revolutionary War. They're really, John Paul Jones, the founder of the American Navy, was called a pirate by the British. And privateers were essentially our Navy. We didn't have all the ships, so we had to hire private vessels, and they helped us win. And we used gold doubloons and silver pieces of eight. That was the first money allowed in America under the Constitution. And so that's known to most people as pirate money. So we use the term pirate money.
You know, and I just connected these dots now as we're talking pirate money and ships and so forth. And we have that other analogy we use all the time of this being a financial ark. So it's kind of appropriate. We've got our ark or our ship, as we're pirates leading the way.
We also talk about the little ships Dunkirk, how we can rescue and save us in terrible times. The question of the day is central bank digital currency. Is that the mark of the beast? And we've covered in detail how it's created, how it can control us, how it literally could be the mark of the beast, or at least a forerunner to the mark of the beast. And now we have a solution, and we don't like to have problems without solution. So the wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. The fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. We want to be counted as wise men. So we've been working on this. I've been working on it literally for 52 years thinking about it, and for at least the last 10 years trying to promote this in the state of Texas and now across two dozen states. And Mike, you've picked up the banner and run with it. You know, you are a well-known hero in the state legislature of more than 20 different states. We were with you at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And where's Mike? I want to talk to Mike. So whether it was Florida or Alaska or Tennessee or Georgia, they all know you and love you because you're bringing a solution. And then we were together at the Texas GOP convention. Now, listen, we're not partisan here. That's not the point here. But we went to the Texas GOP convention because if you want to get something passed politically in Texas, you've got to do it at the GOP convention. I'm happy to say there were no drag queens there like there were at the Democrat convention. Now, I'm not trying to besmirch Democrats, but here in Texas, if you want to get something passed, you got to go to the Republican Party because they kind of control the state. So tell us about what we encountered and what we accomplished.
Well, at the convention, fabulous things. But I want to start out by saying that we have bipartisan support in Texas, which is so exciting. People understand the economic justice. They understand everything that's going on here from that perspective. But at the convention itself, we were busy testifying in front of platform committee and priorities committees and working on language within the platform that says these are the things that the party stands for. These are the things that represent economic freedom. And I'm happy to say that transactional gold and silver was made it to the top 10 priorities out there. And that's a huge, huge accomplishment.
And made two planks in the GOP platform, two new planks. Do you have those in front of you where you can
I
read
do,
them?
I do. This is the Texas GOP platform priority, and hopefully the priority in either the GOP or the Democratic Party in your state, because, again, this is bipartisan. But in Texas, this is what we have. The right to use gold, silver, cash, and cash substitutes. We support Texas in exercising its constitutional Article 1, Section 10, right to declare gold and silver as legal tender and to authorize the ability to transact, transmit, or exchange such gold and silver bullion by physical and or electronic means and or written instruction. To further that right, we support legislation for Texas to utilize the Texas Bullion Depository for persons to buy and hold gold and silver bullion and electronically transact with it as money, essentially allowing debit card transactions to spend gold and silver as functional legal tender. The state of Texas should protect that money and its use from capital gains taxation at both the state and federal level. No government shall prohibit or encumber the ownership or holding of any form of amount of money or other currency. We support a ban on any other form of social credit system based on programmable, trackable digital currencies, including central bank digital currencies. That is a statement with some meat behind it. We're not just saying we're not going to allow central bank digital currency, but we've got a real solution there that we're going to have legislators supporting and getting across the finish line.
A prudent person sees trouble coming and prepares for it. This is preparation for it. We were in the state of Texas at the GOP convention, but we've also been in Austin, Texas, meeting with legislators. You know, last week we just interviewed Mark DeRazio, representative. We interviewed former representative Matt Krause. They both think we've got a legitimate shot of getting this passed in Texas. It's not passed now, but imagine this is a shot heard around the world. This is like a revolutionary war where we're going to stand up for individual liberty, security, and values, or we're going to create a financial arc where people can put their money. Even citizens of other states will be able to put their money in the Texas Bullion Depository and use that debit card if we get this legislation passed.
Absolutely. And we're hearing the states talking amongst themselves and treasurers out there saying, hey, how do we form kind of a federation of states and work together on this thing? But it's important that it's not just in Texas and it's not just in Florida. We want every state out there to have this economic liberty for their people. And so we want to continue to make sure that we're providing the resources and the tools to help you be effective, to help you reach out to your state legislators, your representatives, your senators, your treasurer, get this book out, buy the book, or get the book. We're almost giving the books away pretty much, but if you can get the book and send it to your treasurer.
More information for the book, Pirate Money, can be found at piratemoneybook.com if you're interested. But I did have a conversation with Governor Ron DeSantis when I was at Liberty University just a few months ago. And we talked, we had lunch and we had a brief conversation. He said, you know, if Florida and Texas do this, nobody could stop us. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is central bank digital currency is headed at us like a flood or a freight train or you name the disaster, it's coming straight at us. Well, what if it is a flood? What if it's a flood like, what do we do with our money to protect it? Money is not your salvation. Silver and gold is not your salvation. Silver and gold is useless once you've passed out of this life, and I believe in eternity. Silver and gold cannot buy you relationships. Silver and gold cannot buy you health. It can buy health care, but can't buy you health. So money is just a tool. It's something we can use, but it is an important thing, and that's why the enemy has targeted it with central bank digital currency, I believe. That's why when you read about the mark of the beast, you're not allowed to buy or sell without it. It's control of your money and your ability to buy and sell. This is an option. It's an arc of for financial flood that's coming. I want to read a quote from Dr. Cindy Jacobs on the book Pirate Money. She said, every person in America should read this book. This is a critical time in the history of our nation, and Kevin Freeman is throwing out an economic lifeline that can help save the U.S. while there is still time. I highly recommend it. This plan offers a financial arc to save the money of believers. Well, if that's true, and I hope that it is, I hope we get it passed in various states, this is potentially an opt-out, at least temporarily. Jesus told us that he wanted us to occupy until he returns or to do business until he returns. And a lot of people are so scared. What do I do with my money? Well, they're like the servant who buried his talent in the ground because he was afraid of what was coming. He was afraid of his master. He was afraid he was going to lose money. Well, Jesus said, no. I don't want that one. I want the servants that put their money to work. Well, how do you do that if your money's taken away from you? Well, one of the ways you do it is with transactional gold and silver, or we know it as pirate money.
Yeah. And you know, Kevin, we operate a solution to action tank, our stat tank here. And we've covered inflation, economic warfare, the pandemic. We've been right on so many of those things. This is one where, as you just said, people don't realize how fast this is coming. And I just pray that as you're hearing this, you say, I want to figure out how I can take action, how I can make this happen there, how I can be prudent and prepared for what might be coming.
Well, and we need to do it without a spirit of fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. In fact, I want to mention Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's kind of a key verse for this entire episode. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything includes central bank digital currency, the mark of the beast. It includes the Antichrist. It includes financial floods. It includes inflation. And don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look, we want to be prudent. We want to see the trouble coming and prepare for it. But we also want to have a spirit of prayer about it, according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's why I wrote the book Pirate Money, not to give people an unease, not to make them anxious, but instead to say, hey, look, God's given us a solution. The Constitution has a solution. We have something we can do about this problem that we see coming. And if we pray about it and we act on God's word, we can make a real difference.
Amen. Amen.
So what we've got is a transactional gold and silver. It is a state-based money. Mike Carter, my colleague here, has been promoting it in two dozen states. We just met with the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. They love the idea. They passed it as model legislation. They want to get it enacted in the various states, and it will overcome that government intrusion. It will overcome the problem of trust, the problem of taxes, and the problem of taking. The federal government can't take away your money if it's held at your state, right?
Absolutely.
Mike?
And we're not promoting gold like so many other stations and stuff that are out there where people are trying to sell something. We're trying to facilitate the legislation to make sure that people have that economic liberty, that economic freedom to do the things that they want to do out there and be prudent and wise as we take on what looks to be coming very quickly, the central bank digital currencies.
Yeah. And so we don't make any money from this. We're not selling gold. There's no gold ad here or whatever. But if this does pass, we have a financial arc for our money too, and our kids and our grandkids and the future of America. That's why we're doing it. We want to be, and Mike Carter is a great patriot who has committed so much of his career and life, you know, late night calls and travel around the country to get this passed. This is what we mean by Pirate Money Radio. We're here coming up with solutions every week promoting liberty, security, and values. And transactional gold and silver, you can learn more about that at transactionalgold.com. This is our future. This is our potential. This is what God's given us. This is Kevin Freeman from Pirate Money Radio.